All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Like a vast predatory bird, I'm David.
And we are once again...
Love those vast predatory birds.
We are once again continuing our episode-by-episode journey through Transformers Cyberverse. Today, talking about episodes 16 and 17 of the first season.
We are into the Cyberverse.
That's right. We are going into the Cyberverse. Not a lot of Cyberverse these past couple episodes.
No. Not really.
Well, since it's jacking... Well, no, we didn't really go into Windblade's memory into it physically. They were just watching it on a TV.
But, I mean, I guess it's...
That's the closest we got.
I don't know how I feel that we're primarily shifting to the, like, current ongoing plot. Because on one hand, the Bumblebee's memories are dumb, and they're just about him doing dumb things. So, I guess I'm okay with it. Could actually focus on other characters.
Mm-hmm. So, this is the... This is the Extinction Event. First aired December 15th, 2018, and written by Kate Leth. Last seen in these parts, writing... Shadow Striker.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I couldn't see who the writer was on it because one of my cats decided to take up residence in front of the TV right where that text shows up. So that was cool.
And this is the third and final episode she wrote for Cyberverse.
Okay.
So we open. We got the Seekers there. They fixed up this space bridge, and now here comes Shockwave. In his big ship, which is kind of like a big
angry eye.
It's
a really cool ship.
It does kind of have some sort of like bird-ish details on it. Made me think of like a Romulan bird of prey.
They're Romulan warbird, Klingon bird of prey. I think that's the way around. They're both birds of some kind, but
yes.
Yeah, it's very Star Trek converted into Transformers style. It's neat. I really like the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It is a really cool ship design. A+ ship design.
Meanwhile, Slipstream and her Seekers are just waiting on their ship for him to arrive in his giant ship out of the Stargate. Space Bridge, not Stargate.
We do get to see a decent number of ships in this series, so that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, meanwhile, back in Grimlock's weird cargo cult, Flintstones Rock Bridge, Grimlock sort of explaining how, you know, I used to just live here with my dinosaur friends, and I couldn't find the Ark, so I just kind of hung out here until they went extinct.
Like a very normal guy who was definitely okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just kept building this out as time went on, like scanners and things, a weapons control panel I didn't allow the Velociraptor to touch, despite the fact that it's all made out of stone, yet some of it glows.
Also, I have a hot tub.
What weapons did you have?
It's like a Castaway, where he's just gotta put a face on the beach ball.
He went a little mad. And he, like, in the flashback last episode, like, all the other dinosaurs were basically, oh, they're the Dinobots, plus a Spinosaur and a Velociraptor.
Mm-hmm.
Who were Dinobots in Age of Extinction.
Oh, yeah, they did have a Spinosaur.
I guess.
I guess the Velociraptor at Weapons Control is a Dinobot reference, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking he'd like give them orders to do stuff, and they'd say, it's a living!
Oh, now I want an episode of that.
That would be amazing.
Just
Flintstones dinosaurs.
And pointing out all the things he built there, including a hot tub.
Yes.
Sounds nice.
Which the dinosaurs love to hang out in.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Were dinosaurs cold-blooded? Do we know this? Or were they warm-blooded?
Probably not, no.
Temperate-blooded. They were sort of in between.
Interesting. So yeah, they might like a nice hot tub.
Because, well, some of them were big enough that they could have, like, warmer body temperatures anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just by sheer mass, if not by energy. But it's like, hot tub time machine, it's right there. That would have solved your problem.
Nope. Maybe that's why there's the hot tub. Maybe that's a hot tub time machine joke.
So
reaching. Reaching for some jokes here.
Yep. We cut to the Decepticons, and Shockwave's angry eye is quite appropriate because it's telling Slipstream how much she sucks ass.
He's so mean to everyone.
He is. What a jerk. I mean, he's at least not being so racist this time.
Yeah, a little less racist against Seekers. Like,
also, I guess the question is, are the Seekers a race? Question mark.
No.
I mean, I guess it could
be. Or is this like him saying that, like, cops are stupid?
Classist, or...
Yeah, it's more classist, I guess.
Then you get some question as to whether it's a, like, a functionist kind of thing. Like, are they created as Seekers, or did they choose to become Seekers, or...
Yeah, how does it work in this continuity? Because it's different in everyone.
So many questions. A lot of questions to determine whether Shockwave is being racist or classist or something
or
else.
Or just a dick.
Man, maybe with Transformers, maybe alt modes are like a gender kind of thing.
Mm.
Not like to directly correlate with humans, but just to say like jets tend to be expected to have certain social roles, and certain things are assumed of you if you are a jet. And maybe there's like in Cybertronian, maybe there's like pronouns that are alt mode specific.
So it's like he's complaining about like women drivers.
Yes. Anyway.
I mean, the idea of comparing alt modes to genders is more interesting because, like, G1, it's like classes, Decepticons fly, Autobots drive kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That just popped in my head.
Yeah. I said, that actually is a neat idea.
And then sometimes there are guys who, like, look down, like, guys with animal modes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's that one episode of Season 3 where I think they detect, like, dinosaur transformation static, which is extremely stupid.
Question mark. Yeah, there's definitely like the whole Call of the Primitives thing where there's definitely some point where there's like dinosaur transformation energy or something. It's like, okay, but maybe that's like hormones.
Yeah,
maybe there is some like something going on there. Anyway, yeah, we
just found
somebody
like sloshing dinosaur estrogen all over the place here.
Yes. Yes. Anyway,
so Shockwave's all listen. So instead of, you know, your bumbling boobs scouring the earth for the Ark, instead, I am just going to... some of your Seekers are going to be with me. Some of them are going to be with Shadow Striker, the crazy person who I've brought along.
and she's just standing there being crazy.
And then we're going to enact my plan, which is that we're going to...
Growling like a feral possum.
Yep. We're going to shut down the planet's geomagnetic field at the poles that will eradicate all life on Earth. I'm pretty sure that's what happens in that movie, The Core.
No, he says organic life, which is
right.
Like... Okay, I mean, does that mean that there won't be any trees for them to hide under? Like, I don't
guess
know
that's it. That
this...
really... this, yeah.
Like, if there's no organic life, then the Autobots will be easier to spot. I don't know.
I guess.
Probably, yes, in a way, or it won't matter.
But then
matter
are you still...
anything?
Then I guess you're going to be able to find the Ark eventually, but it's under, like, a bunch of rock, which is not organic life. It's rocks.
No,
rock. It is a very weird, extreme plan that might actually work. It's like, his first choice is, let's kill everything on this planet, waste it. Then our job will be so much easier.
But also,
get
this
rid
would
of all
be
these
like
filthy animals.
Also, would it even? How does that work?
Well, I think it's like in that movie, The Core.
No, nothing. No.
So
the
I think
core.
In order to stop Shockwave, we're gonna have to send like Hillary Swank and Stanley Tucci to the core of the Earth, and they're gonna something lasers, nuclear bomb, and then they're gonna fix it. Question mark. I'm pretty sure that's what happens in the core.
Yeah, but like stopping the Earth's magnetic core from spinning would cause chaos. Yes, I don't understand how that would kill all organic life.
No.
But it'd sure fuck up things.
It would cause a lot of problems. Maybe Shockwave doesn't actually know what he's doing. Just a suggestion here. Maybe Shockwave is, like, being jerks to everybody else because he doesn't himself know what he's doing.
It kind of feels like he just had a research project to stop the core of a planet and has been waiting to use the damn thing.
I mean, when...
it's his first answer. He has a giant hammer, and this is a big nail.
And also, this would be, like, a lot more threatening as a plan if we had seen any of the organic life on Earth in this show.
Yes, if we had friends.
Exactly.
Like, if there were stakes of, oh, Bumblebee knows a person.
Right.
Nope.
Like, oh no, they're gonna, you know, wipe out, you know, Russell and his weird dad. As opposed to, we're going to wipe out, I saw a kid in a car one time. Like, there's no stakes. Yeah. I mean, you know, the extinction of life on Earth is stakes because we're organic life on Earth.
Yeah.
But in the context of the show, we haven't seen it.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's the giantest stakes that mean nothing.
Yes.
It's this show is just so weird.
It is. It really is.
Especially since we started out with a series like, oh, Bumblebee can't remember who he was and what he was doing. I'll help you, little Bumblebee, to fuck all organic life on here. Because of an angry eyebrow.
Yes.
I mean, that is escalation, but it makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
So they try and figure out what to do, and they know that they need to do, you know, if they can just stop one of the Decepticons at one of the poles, then they can shut down the whole thing.
Well, yeah, because Teletran X tells them that because Grimlock wants to run off to one pole and send everybody else to the other pole. It's like, A, there isn't time to make it to the South Pole, and B, we only got to stop one of them. Yay!
Also, I think this is kind of the plan in Man of Steel.
Yes? Well, that's
where they're
just
doing...
trying to terraform or...
Although, how again, that plot was... made more sense. And would you make less sense than a Zack Snyder movie?
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
That's rough.
But yeah, they're trying to, like, terraform the planet to, like, a new Krypton, and they got, like, one ship at one pole.
A Kryptoniform, that's
and
what
one ship
to.
At another pole.
Cryptoform.
And so it's the same deal.
Cryptoform.
So they like, totally steal, like, a human cargo plane.
Yeah, what the hell? And, just off screen.
Yeah, it's like a...
Yes.
Presumably they steal it, like Windblade had an idea, and suddenly they're in a super galaxy air fortress thingy, or
yeah,
carrier thing.
It kind of looks like a Hercules, sort of.
Yeah.
Oh, Hercules. I was trying to figure out, like, what exactly
it's something it was, that someone would notice if you stole it, and it would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hercules is pretty old, but he stole it from, like, an airplane graveyard or something, like, as seen in... Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
And as we know from previous series, they've set up the concept of, like, everything's automated and there's no people there. It's just run by robots.
And
it's just a museum with no one there and a giant cargo plane. Sure.
I need to go speaking, back to that Air and Space Museum sometime.
And speaking of Revenge of the Fallen, RIP to Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Man.
Voice of the Fallen in Revenge of the Fallen and Dreadwing on Transformers Prime.
Not nearly old enough.
Not nearly.
No.
Always good.
I need to either rewatch the original Candyman or watch the new one.
I mean, the new one's good, but...
It's probably easier to watch the new one.
Probably, but, I mean, if you want Tony Todd, you want the first one.
I have not gotten around to sitting down and properly watching it, but I do have it on VHS, intending at some point to sit down and properly watch it.
It's a good movie. It's wasn't it based on, like, a Clive Barker story or something?
Clive Barker story that is set in, like, the UK, and then they transplanted it to Chicago with a black lead.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Oh, it's fantastic movie. Like maybe my favorite horror movie of all time.
I was definitely Ooh. Reading Clive Barker when I was too young to be reading Clive Barker.
So we are at, anyway, we are at the North Pole. Shadow Striker is about to turn on the magnetic disruptor.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm. And much like the end of a superhero movie, there's a big beam that's firing into the ground. But then, you know, Windblade is coming at her, so, of course, Shadow Striker is all about, you know, getting revenge. So she's going out there with Nova Storm.
Shadow Striker wants to go fight Bumblebee because, again, as a reminder, Bumblebee is her nemesis, which is definitely adult villain fighting the Power Pack vibes.
Absolutely.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yes. So it's basically more Autobots showing up to peel off various Decepticons until only, was it Thundercrackers left inside?
It's Thundercracker, because...
Of the dumbest one, of course.
Yeah, so Slipstream and Nova Storm are going out to fight Windblade, and then Shadowstriker goes to fight Bumblebee, and so it's Thundercracker, and just a bunch of, like, Shockwave's little hilarious drones.
All right, the little drone thing.
I love his little spidery drones.
I almost forgot, like, Shadowstriker... How she finds Bumblebee is, like, he's standing on their ship or something, shaking his ass.
Yes.
Yes.
He is shaking his rear end at the camera, and she's just like, ugh, I hate him.
We definitely saw that bit in Guardians of the Galaxy about the dance-off.
Yeah, I can definitely see her just hating him for being an unserious person.
Yes.
So that's fair. Hmm.
Somebody says, holy Megatronus.
Yes.
Was that Thundercracker?
Who was that? Thundercracker, yes. He's holy Megatronus.
Holy Megatronus. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about settings in which Decepticons, like, use epithets to other gods. It's just, I don't know. It's a little too leaning hard into it.
Well... But now that we've seen the Transformers 1 and how Megatronus is handled there, it's a lot better to say that, comparing him, instead of thinking of the Fallen, this guy who's always on fire.
I suppose. I did just finish reading the Aligned novels, which is something that I brought up to Miguel Logos Minor at TFCon Baltimore, and his face was just like, ugh. But occasionally you get Decepticons who are like, by Unicron! It's like, you don't need to be like, oh my Satan! You know, it's... Come on. Come on.
Although, I mean, back in Beast Wars, a lot of the Predacons were like, by the Pit!
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Anyway, those books are not great.
No.
The first one starts strong, but... It doesn't continue. It's Thundertron showing up like a Game of Thrones buffet and suddenly just getting extreme, just a page of physical description. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, Grimlock shows up inside the ship.
Yeah, and just...
Surprises Thundercracker. And Grimlock is walking around talking, and at this point I realize, like, Grimlock is written as if he's one of the Warriors Three.
Yeah,
I can see that.
He's got that.
Like,
ho.
Very sort of erudite Stan Lee ease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the... Not Volstagg.
Fandral. It's Fandral the Dashing.
Which is the blonde one?
That's Fandral the Dashing. And you got Hogan the Grim, you got Volstagg the Voluminous.
Oh, Hogan the Grim.
And Hogan the Grim's the guy who kind of looks like Charles Bronson.
Yeah, Volstagg is the only one I remember because he's the funny one.
Mm-hmm. So he smashes everything. They destroys this ship. Takes down Shadowstriker and Slipstream.
I love Grimlock's line before he starts wrecking shit because, like, he can't turn it off normal or whatever. It's like, when civilized ways fail, sometimes one has to call for a little friend called brute force.
Yes, he transforms. Like, well, that was pretty good.
Is a dolphin in a mech suit going to show up?
It's kangaroo.
But alas, no.
Good old brute force.
And, of course, Shadow Striker's trying to follow, but her Frankenstein limbs don't quite work, so she just ends up, like, eating snow while the Autobots fly off.
It is hard to be her. It is rough. It's rough to be her.
Yes. So she's like, yeah, Shockwave, we kind of ate shit here.
Hmm.
And he's like, well, this plan failed, but I have a backup. And he, indeed, one of his adorable Shockwave drones has smuggled itself aboard their ship.
Dun, dun, dun! Well, they're plane.
Yes.
Giant cargo plane, which is not actually giant enough for them.
Yes. So that is the end of the extinction event. This was, fairly action-heavy. I enjoyed it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had the most notes for this episode, although most of it's silly asides and things. We're making, like, Shockwave's plan. Oh my god, what?
Yeah, that...
I am choosing to believe that he is just an extremely confident, incompetent guy.
It's just like, he's a villain from a different series. Coming in like, oh, let's kill all organics. Wait a minute. This is a low-stakes show. What the hell? Like, well, at least you showed up here instead of showing up at Rescue Bots, but geez.
It's fine. We don't know any organics.
Well, yeah.
Not in this universe.
As far as we know, there's only one family. And, like, TV and radio stations that play themselves.
Yeah, it's just like Fallout.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or, hell, maybe this is like The Stand.
Yeah, Bumblebee just failed to notice that Don't Fear the Reaper was playing whenever he drove through, like, a city full of dead people.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, if, like, an extinction-level event or something had already happened to humanity, that would make sense in this show, because there's no people.
Yeah, and he didn't notice that Bulkhead's just wandering the wasteland telling everybody what M-O-O-N spells.
And there's, like, no instance of, like, oh, we have to be careful that the humans don't see us. It doesn't come up.
Nope.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. Or expensive to animate.
Well, yeah. But they had a kid in one episode. Why even bother? I don't. This show. Oh, okay, next episode.
Yep, time to move on to the next episode, to Awaken the Sleeping Giants. This first aired December 22nd, 2018. Mm-hmm. Written by Zach Atkinson. Frequent writer of Rescue Bots and Robots in Disguise. Last seen in these parts writing Macadams.
Thanks. Pretty decent episode.
So we're back at Grimlock's Flintstones chalet here, and Windblade's all listened. So we did stop the extinction of all life on Earth, presumably, even though we never see it.
Good job, us.
But there's still only three of us. Yes, there's still only three of us and a weird goofy drone, and presumably they're just going to send the entire Decepticon fleet through that now functioning space bridge.
Hmm.
Cool.
So hey, it's time to. It's map time, and we're looking at the Earth as it existed when Grimlock crashed here. Pangea!
Yay! Which Teletran X points out.
A science lesson.
Which is inaccurate.
Yes, but no, but yes.
By 65 million years ago, Pangea had already broken up.
Yeah, it was not Pangea. It had already split into, was it Gondwanaland and...
This show is not interested.
Kapumchia?
In your science.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's like, no, it was not one supercontinent when the dinosaurs were there, which somehow is when, like, Grimlock landed. Oh, my brain.
Well, they were when dinosaurs were there, but not his kind of dinosaurs.
No, yeah.
Because as you recall, the Tyrannosaurus Rex lived closer to us than it did to the first dinosaurs.
Yes, wait. And, yeah, the Spinosaur was at the same time. What were...
We're talking like the Coelophysis and the Herrerasaurus. You know, the really early dinosaurs. Your Triassic dinosaurs.
We need to get one of our paleontology friends on.
So Teletranax is sort of looking at this map, and he remembers where the Ark did land here. You know, but taking into account continental drift and so forth, he does find that it is indeed somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, much like in the old Generation 1 cartoon and comics.
Surprise!
Does it always have to land there, guys?
Yes.
I mean, the thing is,
Mount
St. Hilary.
Yes.
Is clearly a reference to Mount St. Helens, which had erupted in 1980 in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Yes, it made sense in G1, but that they're still calling, they still have Mount St. Hilary here, and it landed in the Pacific Northwest. It's like, couldn't it have landed in Rhode Island or something?
No! It has to be the Pacific Northwest always and forever.
Well, I mean, part of that is that's really the only place in the continental United States where you're going to find volcanoes.
Well,
you're not going to find a volcano in Rhode Island.
Also, one point when they're showing the map, it looks like it's actually pointing at Florida.
Yes. I believe volcanoes are the only natural disaster that Florida doesn't have.
Yet. We'll get there.
Yes. But no, I mean, I think California does not have volcanoes, but... And there might be some in Alaska, but nobody wants to schlep up to Alaska. So far. Pacific Northwest it is. And again, you know, a volcanic eruption on American soil was at the forefront of everybody's minds in the 80s.
It was a pretty big deal.
Oh, sure. I mean, I was not around for it, but I read a bunch of my neighbor's old National Geographics, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So they figure out where it is, but unfortunately, that means that now the Decepticons know, because that Shockwave drone is still spying on them. So now Shadowstriker and the Seekers are on their way to hit Voodoo Donuts, catch the check out the spy needle or the space needle, and visit the filming locations of Frasier.
Ooh!
And indeed, this is Mount St. Hilary that they mention here.
Call it out by name.
So Slipstream and the Seekers attack, and they do indeed shoot down this cargo plane. So they got a bailout.
R.I.P. their cargo plane.
Yes.
It wasn't even theirs.
They stole it.
And then Grimlock does a B-ball special.
Yeah, well, first he catches Bumblebee on the way down, and then, yeah, fastball specials into the sky.
As you do.
And then fastball specials Teletran X, which is actually more effective, weirdly.
Yes. So that takes down Thundercracker, B takes down Nova Storm, and then Windblade beats Slipstream. And then Starscream is mad because it turns out that Shockwave is horning in on his action. So he is displeased, more displeased about that than he is about, you know, the Autobots beating up a bunch of guys here.
The inter-Decepticon rivalry is more important than actually dealing with Autobots. The mm-hmm. backstabbing is more important.
Yes. And then that lets Teletran X eavesdrop on them. So he tells them that, hey, the Decepticons, they're coming, like, immediately. So
yeah, get ready for that.
Uh-huh. So they head into this volcano. One of these drones is still following them. All sorts of, you know, volcano stuff is happening in here. And indeed, Grimlock just straight up falls into this lava.
Oops. Well, there goes him. R.I.P. Grimlock.
But no, he pretty much pulls himself out immediately. He's just red hot. And then now he can breathe fire because he got lava powers?
Yes.
Or did he, swallow a bunch of lava and now he's spitting it out?
Maybe
lava
that's just his,
rock,
like...
not fire.
Maybe it's just his, like, heat dissipation. Like, that's his heat sink. That's the way he offloads heat, excess heat. That's my headcanon. Mm. He's just shooting fire because...
I mean, not that that makes any more sense, but sure. Well...
I mean, a lot of this doesn't make a huge amount of sense. So he blasts these rocks, and then finally, after 17 episodes, we found the Ark.
Hooray! Parked in the same cave it's always parked in.
Yep. I think we're gonna run into Black Arachne and Silverbolt here.
I was thinking about Beast Wars. This being a little bit Beast Wars looking for the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they do have a view, like, under the front of it, which is very Beast Wars.
It's extremely Beast Wars coded.
Hmm.
And so now we're headed to the Ark, but Shockwave is on their tail, and that all sets us up for the exciting season finale.
Yay! On episode 18, that's a weird
episode 18.
Number.
Well,
season, which technically is only like 9 episodes because they're
yeah,
this
would be like 9 regular sized episodes. So yeah,
sure.
And then the next season is also 18 episodes,
but then the last season is longer.
26 episodes plus, well, and then there are 2 extra long specials.
Mm. Well, extra long, what does that mean? They're like regular episode length? 23 minutes?
I'm not actually sure how long they are. I have not actually watched those. But I'm sure we'll find out.
We will get there. We are almost there.
But does the wiki not have runtimes of episodes? Oh.
They don't really. I don't think they do.
I mean, it makes sense since most of them are the same 23 minutes
yes.
for an episode, but and we got shit like this in movies. Runtimes are a thing to add.
Things vary.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you know, things are happening in these episodes.
Yes.
They're certainly moving more of a clip than the last.
We've got a new.
Than the first batch of episodes.
Yeah. We've got a new character. Got Grimlock is hanging around. The Decepticons are doing more. Starscream's showing up.
I mean,
Shockwave is being more actively involved.
It's more interesting. There's a plot going on. There's just problems with the 65 million years and some other bits. But, like, it's better but weirder.
Yeah,
I'm not... No 65 million years. That's ridiculous. Not unless everyone was asleep during that entire time.
Yeah, all of Cybertron would have to be asleep for this not to be utterly insane. And, like, the Decepticons would not have taken over half the galaxy.
Yeah, it's just... No. But otherwise, I mean... I don't know. We got lava. Lava's really hot. Cartoons overestimate the danger of quicksand and underestimate the danger of lava.
Yes.
And how lava even looks, because mostly you're not seeing the glowing bits because that's the moving parts. Usually there's a hard crust on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's rock. It's really hot rock. It's not quite a liquid. It's
not water. It's not just going to drip off you.
If you get into it and you come out of it, part of it is going to be stuck on you.
Yes.
You are going to be coated in a fine rime of rock.
Yes. Yeah, so, fine. We'll believe that giant robots can survive, but Grimlock should be covered with bits of rocks.
I'm just thinking Futurama here. Lava, professor, hot.
I mean, at least they don't have to worry about the fumes, where the fumes, if you get anywhere near lava, would actually kill people.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, these guys are robots, at least, so.
Yeah, so that part's fine.
There's some more
just
leeway.
Falling into lava, and then just coming out with gas.
Mm.
Sure. It's weird how infuriating this series can be sometimes.
Well, that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with the exciting conclusion to this season. But of course, until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For October, we got all seasonal and watched the episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with Pumpkin Wrapper and also a game show written by people who don't seem to understand game shows. So that's that was a lot of fun to talk about. For November, we are coming up with something exciting and seasonal. We've narrowed it down to a couple different it's American Thanksgiving, but Rob, you're not even American.
This is true.
You're up there where they spell Walmart Supercenter with R-E at the end.
Yeah, the correct way.
as I learned when I was in Toronto this summer and I did a map search for groceries and it suggested Walmart Supercenter with an R-E. It's like, you can't just make it fancy like that. It's still just Walmart. Actually, your Walmarts are nicer, but my Walmart is kind of feral, so I may not be a good judge.
And also, we had our Thanksgiving last month.
Yeah, so you're already done with Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, so we shouldn't do a Thanksgiving episode. We'll figure out something, but who knows?
We will think of something super fun to watch within the next week or two. Maybe more Power Rangers. No. Not more Power Rangers.
No.
Absolutely not.
Eventually, we'll probably come back to Power Rangers, maybe, but...
We should watch more GoBots.
No. Again, need a break.
Fine.
We just did that, like...
I would just like to point out that GoBots currently has higher quality video masters than Generation 1.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Maps?
Yeah. It's not appropriate. It's not okay. They need to get on that. It's Hanna-Barbera. They're taking care of their stuff.
They are. All right. Well, until next time, and when we, when the season finale erupts into action with Eruption, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen. And I'm not going to make a dirty joke about Eruption.
And I'm
more of a
David
poop joke.
Thankfully, Transformers don't make poop jokes that often.
All right. Great. Right.